This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's been more than 16 years since Travis Roy, then a 20-year-old freshman, stepped into the ice rink for his first ever Boston University hockey game and was carried out a quadriplegic. The accident got national attention.
We have a BU player down in the corner. It's Travis Roy.
My brain was sending the message to get on my hands and knees and get back up, and to just have no response from my body was, you know, something was bad.
Travis Roy now lives in Boston, not far from the arena where a cracked vertebra left him paralyzed from the neck down. He wrote a book, he runs a foundation that gives grants for spinal cord injury research and equipment, and today he spoke at BU about the mental challenges of his injury. Travis came to our studios this week to give us a preview of his talk, and he described his return to school less than a year after the accident.
It was a hard time. When I look back at everything that I've done, and I've had some nice accomplishments and some bumps in the road, but I don't know what I was thinking when I decided I was going to come back to BU 10 months after my injury. You know, from just going into the dorm, 24-hour care attendance, and just trying to figure out who I was, my life, how I related to my fellow students, how I was going to academically do it. And then the transition to my sophomore year, there were things that I didn't do very well that I needed to do better in trying to acclimate myself. And
like what kind of things?
The first time I went down to the cafeteria my freshman year and in the wheelchair and going through the food line, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to fit in here and how is this going to go? And later as I was finishing up, I realized that as crowded as the cafeteria was, that nobody came down and sat next to my table. It was all of a sudden I realized I am pretty darn different here, and I didn't have a lot of confidence. I kept my head down. And when I came back my sophomore year, I promised myself that, you know, I've got to take some responsibility for this, and I've got to get my head up and look people in the eye and put a smile on my face and say hello. And it's amazing what that simple gesture does. Growing up, my parents, there's only one lesson they ever sort of shared with me as far as dealing with people with disabilities, and it was don't stare. And that's true. You don't want to stare, but the problem with that is it makes you not acknowledge somebody. And it's such a simple gesture, you know, to put a smile on your face and say hello. It shows a little bit of a comfort level that it just opens that door for maybe another sentence or two or a little bit of dialogue.
You wrote that you try so hard to make sure that you are put together, that you are upright, you know, things that seem so simple. But as you said,
right,
it's easy to be slouching and disheveled in a wheelchair, and you felt that it was important to look put together if you wanted to be treated with respect.
It's so important, and maybe not so much respect, but the more, quote-unquote, normal you can look, the more people treat you as normal. You know, I don't wear sweatpants unless I know I'm going to be home on a Sunday, not going out, you know. And it's a challenge to find clothes that fit. I mean, I don't have abdominal muscles. There isn't that nice, tight stomach, you know. So I wear an abdominal binder and just little side support under my armpit that keeps me from falling over to the left and keeps me looking straight in the wheelchair. And it's a big part of people looking at you as an equal.
What is a typical day for you like now, if there is a typical day?
I have my care attendant. I call it the changing of the guards. So
every 8 hours or so.
Exactly. I have a care attendant come at 7 in the morning and to relieve the person that was there with me overnight. And she'll bathe me and dress me and a little bit of breakfast. Now, I made that sound really simple. That's about a two-hour process. And then I'm usually at my computer by 9:30, answering emails. A lot of work with the Travis Roy Foundation. That's been a lot of fun. That takes up a lot of my time. I probably put in anywhere from 30 to 40, 50 hours answering emails with that and fundraisers. And then I make my living, though, working as a motivational speaker.
You wrote in your book near the very end, "Soon, I see myself on my own 2 feet again in 10 years." Well, it's clearly been more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you still believe a cure is coming in your lifetime?
I think that there will be a major cure in my lifetime. My bigger concern is I don't know that I'll be in a position anymore to benefit from that. The muscles and the bones and the osteoporosis and the atrophying of the muscles. And it's been 16 years. Very well could be another 16 years. 30 years in a wheelchair is a long time. But boy, if I could get a little bit more dexterity in my fingers and my arms and, you know, to be able to get in and out of bed on my own. And if there was ever a day when I didn't need the 24-hour care attendants, that would signify a quote-unquote cure for me.
You had mentioned that after your injury, you spent 6 months in the hospital and then, I believe, 6 months in outpatient rehab. But you've had essentially no rehab since then?
That's true. And I'm not real proud of that. At the same time, it's a different culture now. when I came out of the hospital, there wasn't any real therapies that the doctors and therapists were encouraging me to continue to do. Now they have much longer, higher intensity therapy. Some of that I'm sure I could probably benefit from to a certain degree, but to put in the time to getting the benefits of doing the physical therapy, I think it would cut in a little bit to the things I enjoy doing, and that's a decision that I've had to make.
Travis, having been a top athlete, do you have a way now to satisfy your competitive spirit, or do you feel like that goes away when you lose the ability to be physical?
No, I can't deny I am still heartbroken with not only the loss of playing hockey and a game that I loved. Not only did I enjoy the games, but my dad happened to manage an ice arena. And the nights that I spent in that rink all by myself, some of my greatest moments and the pleasure that I took out of challenging myself out on the ice. And along with that, I miss being able to compete. I miss those emotions. I miss the idea of scoring a game-winning goal and that elation that you just cannot get anywhere else, and the pride that you have in your team. And you just can't replace that.
In the work you do now with your foundation and speaking, do you work directly with people who have spinal cord injuries?
People might be a little surprised to hear this. Not so much. And that's intentional. People apply for the grants. I read their stories. I read their applications. It's emotional. It's hard. You know, whether it's a father of three who jumped on the trampoline and now the side effects of that. But I can't escape being a quadriplegic. I'm trying to remember when I took my pills last, when the last time I did a weight shift that prevents pressure sores. You know, have I ordered my medical supplies? What care attendant's going to work on Thursday because I need to drive here or there? My mind is consumed with dealing with this injury. So what I'm saying is I don't really want to surround myself anymore with other people with paralysis. With that said, there's certainly times where I get together and I see people, and I will say I learn more from my fellow quadriplegics or people that are paralyzed, and I get so much out of that.
Right after your accident, you were in the news everywhere. Al Gore came to your hospital, I think. Bobby Orr helped do a fundraiser.
Sure.
Do you still feel remembered now?
I do. It's very different. I mean, when I would roll down the street, there was a lot more whispers, and there's Travis Roy, and you know, there were perks that came along with that. I go out to eat, and I didn't pay for a lot of meals. You know, it was great. I pay for a lot more meals now. You know, part of me, it's kind of nice just to blend in.
Travis, thanks for making the trip to the studio.
Thank you, Sasha. I appreciate it.
Travis regained limited use of his right arm, but not his fingers, within a short time after his accident, enough to move the joystick on his motorized wheelchair. But he has regained no more movement since then.